Helicobacter pylori strategies for treatment. So, we have a good amount of research on H. pylori. So, we're going to spend a decent amount of time going over that research before we dive into the specifics of treatment. But I'll tell you first that the general GI protocol can work pretty well for H. pylori. But because H. pylori is a fairly virulent infection, because we use in conventional medicine triple antibiotic therapy for it and sometimes quadruple therapy, adding a fourth substance, we may want to add some additional things. It can be tricky to eliminate an H. pylori infection using natural methods and not using antibiotics, although I've seen it happen many times, so it's definitely possible. We just might want to add some additional specific stuff on top of the general GI protocol in many cases when we're targeting H. pylori. Licorice flavonoids, particularly GutGuard, has the research behind it. It may not work to use any kind of DGL, deglycerinated licorice, because some of the flavonoids might be removed, but we do know that GutGuard, which is licorice flavonoids that is deglycerinated, so it doesn't have a boosting effect on blood pressure, but it does have the flavonoid content that's been researched with H. pylori, can be a good constituent to add into the mix. Lactobacillus reuteri has some research, mastic gum has some research, propolis, garlic, N-acetylcysteine, Saccharomyces boulardii, cranberry juice, bismuth, and zincarnosine are all sometimes used and can all be helpful, but that's a bunch of stuff to try to put people on all of it. So, how can we choose and pick from the options based on research to see what has the greatest chance of working for an H. pylori infection, to have a modest protocol that's not too crazy many products? Here is inhibition of H. pylori infection in humans by Lactobacillus reuteri, an effect on eradication therapy, a pilot study. This was a double-blind, placebo-controlled study with 40 H. pylori patients. They were given Lactobacillus reuteri once per day for 4 weeks or placebo. All underwent upper endoscopy, urea breath test, and H. pylori stool antigen determination at entry, and urea breath test and H. pylori stool antigen after 4 weeks of treatment. And then subsequent treatment was administered subsequently to all. So, in vivo, Lactobacillus reuteri reduces H. pylori load, and as assessed by the urea breath test and the stool antigen. No changes were observed in patients receiving placebo. So, Lactobacillus reuteri, followed by a significant decrease in gastrointestinal symptom rating scale as compared to pretreatment value that was not present in those receiving placebo. It did not eradicate H. pylori, but it did reduce and especially improved the gastrointestinal symptom rating scale. So the conclusion is that it would is helpful in H. pylori infection. It suppresses H. pylori, but it may not be enough alone to take care of an infection. Here's a study that looks at Lactobacillus reuteri, specifically this PiloPass brand was specifically designed to co-aggregate H. pylori. In vitro was shown to reduce urea breath test in vivo, and a single-blind placebo-controlled study was done in 22 H. pylori positive asymptomatic results, and a significant reduction in H. pylori was observed. So we definitely have good level of evidence for Lactobacillus reuteri and H. pylori reduction, but not necessarily a full treatment. Lactobacillus reuteri was identified as a highly specific binding antagonist to H. pylori It might prove useful as an adhesion blocker in antibiotic-free H. pylori therapy. So if we are going to do an antibiotic-free therapy, this may help reduce adhesion. So let's look at some other substances. Garlic or jalapeno peppers for treatment of Helicobacter pylori infection. This is a clinical trial. I'm focusing mostly on clinical trials because these are higher level of data than in vitro studies. We do have in vitro studies showing garlic to be effective against H. pylori. And so this particular study talks about how in vitro studies have shown effective. How about in vivo? Let's try it. And this study did not support that garlic or jalapeno peppers can eliminate H. pylori. It was 12 subjects, 7 men, 5 women, and 10 received garlic, 6 received jalapenos, 11 received bismuth. Neither garlic nor jalapeno had in vivo effect on H. pylori when measured by urease activity before and after garlic and jalapenos. Bismuth did have a marked inhibitory effect. So the methodology is a little bit of concern here because they used 10 cloves of freshly sliced garlic. Evidence suggests that allin and the heat-sensitive enzyme that converts allin to allicin are in separate parts of the garlic clove. Just slicing garlic may not be effective in combining those two parts, depending on how they did the preparation. If there's cooking, it does inactivate that heat-sensitive enzyme unless you crush or finely chop for 10 minutes, let it sit, and then cook with it. If it's eaten raw, then the heat-sensitive enzyme will combine with the allin to make allicin. So I do have some concern about the methodology. I don't know whether there was heat involved in the processing of those 10 cloves. It said 10 cloves of freshly sliced garlic, so it may have been raw. But even still, that may not have been enough allicin in order to get a beneficial result. So we're still curious about garlic because we do have in vitro evidence. And in vivo, we have not seen good results so far, but we have not seen the use of a very high dose garlic allicin supplement like Elemed, for example. And I do wonder if we used something like 450 milligrams of stabilized allicin, if we would see a positive reduction and or elimination of H. pylori. This study used steam distilled garlic oil, and it showed that this study was talking about steam distilled garlic oil and another study that had shown in vitro activity against H. pylori. And then this particular study used 4 milligram garlic oil capsule with a meal 4 times per day for 14 days. Garlic oil was not shown to inhibit H. pylori at that dose. That's 4 milligrams of garlic oil 4 times per day. But the authors of this study note that a higher dose administered for a longer period of time may be effective. So again, I concur and I feel that it would be good to get some research done on something like Alamed, which is that 450 milligrams per cap of stabilized allicin, something like a cap twice per day of that. May be effective still, but we don't have clinical trials on it, so we don't know right now. We do have this trial that looked at allicin as an add-on therapy, systematic review, and looked at eradication in the allicin group was significantly higher than that of the control group. Allicin as an add-on therapy, when added onto triple antibiotic therapy, was shown to increase the effectiveness rate, but it wasn't shown alone to be effective as of now in the research. I would like to see ideally more, and it may, because of the in vitro studies, it may be a reasonable idea to add a high-dose allicin to an H. pylori protocol, but we don't have the clinical trials to show efficacy. Here we have a clinical trial efficacy of cranberry juice on H. pylori infection, double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled trial. 14 of the 97 from the cranberry juice treatment group and 5 from the 92 of the placebo recipients had negative urea breath test results. So it may be that cranberry juice can suppress H. pylori infection and/or reduce, in particular, adhesion. One of the defense mechanisms of H. pylori is adhesion, so it is helpful to have people drink 100% cranberry juice during the course of H. pylori treatment, but I wouldn't use it as a standalone because we really only had a 14% eradication rate in this study, which is not great, but it is showing that it's doing something, and combining it, especially since people can do that themselves without a supplement, they can just go get cranberry juice and drink it. And because the mechanism of reducing adhesion, it may make other things more effective. So here we see effect of cranberry juice on eradication of H. pylori in patients treated with antibiotics and a proton pump inhibitor. So here we have antibiotic treatment being utilized, and we have cranberry constituents are known to exert anti-adhesion activity on H. pylori in vitro. So we have, again, in vitro data showing us that there's anti-adhesion activity from cranberry. This study used 177 patients with H. pylori infection treated with OAC for 1 week, which is the omeprazole, amoxicillin, clarithromycin. Were randomly allocated to receive 250 milliliter of either cranberry juice or placebo beverage. Overall, the rate of H. pylori eradication was 82.5%, with no statistically significant difference among the three arms, but analysis by gender revealed that for female subjects, the eradication rate was higher in the cranberry arm. So again, a little bit of data that cranberry isn't going to do much on its own. Together with other therapies, it may be helpful. For some reason, it may be more helpful in women than men based on this study, but it is worth noting that cranberry could be utilized in part of H. pylori treatment. Dietary sulforaphane-rich broccoli sprouts reduce colonization and attenuate gastritis in H. pylori-infected mice and humans. Daily intake of sulforaphane-rich broccoli sprouts for 2 months reduced H. pylori colonization in mice and improves the sequelae of infection in infected mice and in humans. So you might be able to reduce some of the negative effects of H. pylori infection through intake of sulforaphane, either through supplements or through broccoli sprouts. Sulforaphane is a hepatoprotective compound, protects the liver, has detoxification function, and is a great substance for people to take as an antioxidant and can potentially reduce inflammation as well. So it won't generally eliminate H. pylori in and of itself, but it can be an adjunct to treatment. A comparative study of broccoli sprout powder and standardized triple therapy on cardiovascular risk factors following H. pylori eradication, a randomized clinical trial in patients with type 2 diabetes. The H. pylori eradication rates were 89.3%, 56%, and 91.7% in the three groups. Those three groups were essentially standard triple therapy, 6 grams per day broccoli sprouts powder for 28 days, and then a combination of those two. So we can see that obviously the triple antibiotic therapy increased the clearance rates dramatically, 89% and 91%, but 56% was found in the broccoli sprout powder group, and the broccoli sprout powder plus triple therapy found an increase in a little bit of eradication rate versus without, so 91.7 versus 89.3%. And then after treatment, systolic and diastolic blood pressure significantly decreased in the group that had the broccoli sprout powder plus the standard triple therapy. Also, triglycerides to HDL ratio increased in the standard group without the broccoli sprout powder. And then the serum hsCRP levels, so an inflammatory marker, decreased in patients who were treated with broccoli sprouts. So it may be helpful to consider sulforaphane and/or broccoli sprouts. Here's a randomized controlled trial comparative study of Nigella sativa and triple therapy and eradication of H. pylori in patients with non-ulcer dyspepsia. H. pylori eradication was 82.6, 47.6, 66.7, and 47.8%, with triple therapy in the first group for 82.6%. 1 gram of Nigella sativa in the 47.6%, 2 grams Nigella sativa, 66.7%, and 3 grams Nigella sativa, 47.8%. So eradication with rates with 2 grams of Nigella sativa and triple therapy were statistically not very different from each other in this study. Now, there have been some other studies that have shown less of a beneficial effect, and it's weird that we would see a much lower eradication rate from 1 or 3 grams than from 2 grams. So this is a little bit of some data that's not very robust, but it's some data. Here's combination of Nigella sativa and honey in eradicating H. pylori. 14 patients completed the study, negative. Breath test was observed in 57.1%, so about 8 of 14 of participants after the intervention. So it may be that Nigella sativa is eradicating some percentage of H. pylori, but it's a little early in research and the clinical trials are somewhat minimal. Berberine containing quadruple therapy for initial H. pylori eradication, open label. Randomized phase 4 trial, 612 treatment naive patients randomly assigned to 14-day berberine containing or 14-day bismuth containing quadruple therapy. The eradication rates in bismuth and berberine groups were 86.4% and 90.1%. Berberine containing quadruple regimen was not inferior to the bismuth containing quadruple regimen. In fact, it was just a little smidge better. So that means berberine may have inhibitory effects similar to bismuth and may be a good addition to some other antimicrobials. We don't have data on berberine alone eradicating H. pylori, but we do have that data that in combination with other antimicrobials, it may be effective. Bacillus clausii therapy to reduce side effects of anti-Helicobacter pylori treatment. Randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial. So Bacillus clausii is one of the spore-based probiotics, and this had 120 H. pylori positive patients randomly screened to receive either standard 7 days triple therapy with a few of the antibiotics and Bacillus coagulans for 14 days, or the same 7 day triple therapy without the spore-based probiotic, and there was a validated questionnaire. 4 weeks from the start of therapy, the incidence of nausea, diarrhea, epigastric pain in patients treated with the Bacillus clausii were significantly lower than in the placebo group. In symptomatic-free H. pylori patients, Bacillus clausii bacteriotherapy reduces the incidence of the most common side effects related to anti-H. pylori antibiotic therapy compared with placebo. So, spore-based probiotics do play a role in reducing side effect profile during anti-H. pylori therapy. Adjunctive probiotics improve eradication effect of triple therapy for H. pylori infection. 2 weeks pre-treatment with probiotics containing Lactobacillus acidophilus at 3 times 10 to the 7 prior to 1 week of triple therapy, or 1 week of triple therapy followed by 2 weeks of the same probiotics. So this was interesting. It took pre and or post probiotic therapy using Lactobacillus acidophilus. So successful eradication was observed in 171 patients, and the eradication rates were significantly higher in the group that had pre-treatment with probiotics. And also with post-treatment, but not in the group that did not have either. So pre-treatment and post-treatment with probiotics were both shown to improve eradication rates in the 80% instead of in the 60% without the probiotic. So this suggests that administration of probiotics before or after standard triple therapy may improve H. pylori eradication rates. So again, probiotics can play an important role, but probably not enough alone to eradicate. Saccharomyces boulardii plus sequential therapy for H. pylori infections, randomized open label trial. This study looked at 199 patients. H. pylori rate was higher in the experimental group than the control group. The experimental group got some Saccharomyces boulardii at about 250 milligrams per day. And then the eradication rates look at about 86% versus 74.7% in the control group. So adding S. boulardii may help H. pylori eradication rates and reduce the incidence of treatment-associated adverse effects. Here we see probiotics improve the efficacy of standard triple therapy and eradication of H. pylori, a meta-analysis. This is our highest level of research. Meta-analysis looked at 30 randomized controlled trials involving 4,302 patients. And the addition of probiotics is associated with improved H. pylori eradication rates in both children and adults, as well as Asians and non-Asians. Lactobacillus, Bifidobacterium, Saccharomyces, and mixtures of probiotics appeared beneficial in H. pylori eradication. So Saccharomyces boulardii and Lactobifido blends are both called out in this meta-analysis as being effective for improving eradication rates. Efficacy of berberine-containing quadruple therapy. This is another meta-analysis of randomized trials. 13 articles were included. So again, highest level of evidence. Analysis showed that the addition of berberine in standard triple therapy could improve H. pylori eradication rates and clinical symptom remission rate, accelerate ulcer healing, and reduce adverse effects. So berberine has a very high level of evidence as an adjunct to other antimicrobials. Effective mastic gum on H. pylori, randomized pilot study, 350 milligrams, 3 times per day of pure mastic gum for 14 days, or 1.05 grams, 3 times per day of pure mastic gum in group B for 14 days, or pentaprazole, 20 milligrams twice per day, plus pure mastic gum, 350 milligrams, 3 times per day for 14 days, or pentaprazole, 20 milligrams twice per day, plus amoxicillin, 1 gram twice per day, plus clarithromycin, 500 milligrams twice per day for 10 days in group D. So group D was our standard triple antibiotic therapy. Group C was mastic gum with one antibiotic. Group B was 1.05 grams pure mastic gum, and group A was 350 milligrams 3 times daily of mastic gum for 14 days. Eradication of H. pylori was confirmed in 4 of 13 patients in group A. So the ones who just got 350 milligrams 3 times daily of pure mastic gum, a 4 out of 13 elimination rate. It's not great, but something, about 1 in 3, about 33%. Group B had 5 of 13, so That's a little better. That's actually over a third, so over 33%. No patient in group C achieved eradication, so the single antibiotic plus masticum did not have any eradication. 10 of 13 in group D had a negative breath test, so obviously the triple therapy did better, but we did have some eradication from masticum use. So masticum is considered to have bactericidal activity on H. pylori in vivo. It may not be great eradication rates, but it does have some effect. N-acetylcysteine as an adjunct therapy for H. pylori eradication. NAC can destabilize the biofilm structure. It also has synergistic action with antibiotics and bactericidal effect. In addition, NAC has antioxidant properties and has a primary mucolytic effect by reducing the thickness of gastric mucus layer, both of which may exert beneficial adjunct effects on H. pylori eradication. So those are some of the mechanisms by which NAC may be helpful. And we had a meta-analysis, 8 research-controlled trials. The addition of NAC may improve eradication rates compared to control, 27% versus 37%, but there is some uncertainty in terms of the quality of the evidence in these studies. So there's a little bit of uncertainty, but it looks as if in the meta-analysis eradication rates are improved with NAC. Chemical composition of anti-H. pylori effect of Sartoria bacteriaca bunge essential oil. Not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but basically this is showing antibacterial activity of this essential oil against 10 clinical isolates of H. pylori, and it identifies carvacrol, which happens to also be present in high amounts in oil of oregano. A lot of oil of oregano is standardized to have as much as 70%, sometimes 55%, sometimes it's 70% carvacrol. And carvacrol was also the first main component in this particular essential oil that had an anti-H. pylori effect. Now, this isn't in vitro, so not a clinical trial, but it is showing that carvacrol may have some impact and a positive impact on eradication of H. pylori. So, wish we had more on oil of oregano and H. pylori, but we do have that little bit of in vitro. Here we have caffeic acid, phenethyl ester, CAPE, an active component in propolis, inhibits H. pylori peptide deformylase activity. So propolis, this again is not a clinical trial. This is in vitro showing a constituent in propolis inhibiting part of H. pylori's virulence. And so it shows that there may be some effect. Then there is one clinical trial that I found on Brazilian green propolis. It did not find a significant effect, but it did only use a fairly modest dose of propolis. And so, and it was a small study, it was 18 participants, and H. pylori infection was confirmed by histology, urease test, and urea breath test. Participants with urea breath test showing data over baseline value greater than 4 parts per thousand were considered positive. 20 drops from an alcoholic preparation of Brazilian green propolis were administered 3 times a day for 7 days. Clinical evaluation were performed at 1 to 3 days and 40 days after the end of therapy to evaluate H. pylori suppression or eradication, and all participants took all medication and completed the study. 83% of the subjects did not succeed in suppressing or eradicating H. pylori. 2 participants received partial suppression after treatment but became positive again. So that's only 7 days, and I think that wasn't long enough, and the dose may not have been big enough. So I think there's still promise, potential for propolis, but not enough data from the current clinical trial to show very robust rates of eradication. In vitro anti-H. pylori activity of a flavonoid-rich extract of licorice and its probable mechanism of action. So this showed anti-H. pylori activity from GutGuard, a preparation of licorice that removes some of the glycyrrhizin that increases blood pressure but preserves a lot of the flavonoid. And it shows that there's a possible inhibition of protein synthesis, DNA gyrase, and dihydrofolate reductase as the mechanism of how it's working. Then there was a clinical trial, Effective GutGuard in the Management of H. pylori, randomized double-blind placebo-controlled study. 150 milligrams of GutGuard or placebo was administered once daily for 60 days, so 2 months, so that's a good amount of time to see a result. And the results were negative in 28 subjects, 56% in GutGuard treatment group, whereas in placebo group, only 2 subjects showed negative response, 4%. So dramatic increase over placebo, and the other tests, so they did 2 different testing methods, the other test showed 48% reduction in the GutGuard group. So this is still not fantastic rates, but it's starting to get decent at 48 or 56% eradication rate with GutGuard. So when we see that we have a few different substances that are showing some elimination effect, combining them, we may have a really strong ability to eliminate H. pylori. Vitamin D was found to be protective for H. pylori infection. Moreover, it can improve success rate of eradication, so making sure vitamin D is in range is important as well. Beta caryophyllene from clove extract in H. pylori eradication in mouse models, so not a trial mouse model study, but it did show that part of a constituent from clove extract did have an improvement on inflammation and decreased bacterial burden in H. pylori infected mouse models. And I only bring this up because there is some clove in the intestable product that has oil of oregano in it as well, so carvacrol and beta-caryophyllene may both have some anti-H. pylori activity in vitro, but we don't have any clinical trials on them. In vitro anti-H. pylori activity on probiotic strain Bacillus subtilis due to secretion of antibiotics. So Bacillus subtilis is a strain that is in the HU58 or the Megaspore biotic, and it's in higher quantities in the HU58, and it is shown to have some multiple compounds, antibiotic compounds that it releases. The probiotic strain, whose safety has been demonstrated, is known to have antagonistic properties against Enterobacteriaceae. In present study, it was also found to inhibit H. pylori. H. pylori, anti-H. pylori activity present in the cell-free supernant was not related to pH or organic acid concentration. It was heat stable and protease insensitive. At least 2 antibiotics detected by thin layer chromatography and confirmed by high performance liquid chromatographic analysis were found to be responsible for this anti-H. pylori activity. All H. pylori strains tested were sensitive to both compounds. One of these compounds was identified as anti-coumadin A, an antibiotic with anti-inflammatory properties. So this is basically saying that this probiotic, Bacillus subtilis, releases antibiotics, and at least 2 of these antibiotics have anti-H. pylori activity. So Bacillus subtilis may be a good choice, although this is an in vitro study and we do not have clinical trial. Here we have a chart for serum bovine immunoglobulin showing some of the things that it binds to, and it will bind to H. pylori. And so serum bovine immunoglobulin may be helpful in reducing H. pylori through binding to it and taking it out with the stool.